Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, the voice of liberation, broadcasting from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, May 24th, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take control, back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry for the few false starts there in the morning. Some mornings I can't seem to get started. It's one of them. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're listening in. If you hear me, I guess you are listening in. What a dumb statement that was. During our live broadcast, I invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. You may also access this program through Blog Talk Radio, number of 646-652-4620. I only mention that because both lines are still open and live, and people call and say, well, what happened to your old line? It's still there. I just also have a toll-free number, which I pay for, all right? So for your convenience. And, of course, send us your email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and it's comments@libertytalkradio.com. You can also listen to Liberty Talk Radio on 1170 KFAQ live on Sunday mornings at 6:30 to 7 o'clock a.m. Central Daylight Time. And also it's rebroadcasted on Saturday evening 7 to 8 p.m. Saturday 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. That's early. I was been invited to broadcast on KFAQ. As you know, KFAQ may be the largest talk show program in the United States. This is my opportunity, and so far, so good, folks. I would prefer to have a larger audience. Of course, 6 to 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, I fully recognize is not their prime time and not my prime time, and nor is anyone else's prime time. So I hope things work out and we can graduate from there. But we are on commercial radio, 1170 KFAQ. By the way, wonderful station, wonderful people. And I'm not just saying that because they allowed me to broadcast on this station. I had been welcomed at that station just beyond my expectations, or what have I expected from anyone, and they've been just absolutely super. So listen in, 1170 KFAQ AM. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net, sutton-associates.net, and sign up. In his monthly newsletters and podcast, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. For your daily commentary on current issues, I suggest that you read the briefs by Paul Jacobs, Common Sense. Just go to thisiscommonsense.com. It's amazing. Paul does this every day. I don't know how he does it. He must have a brain bigger than this room because I couldn't do it. I mean, I struggle to have a broadcast as I do right now once a week or twice a week now. He does this every day of the week. It's amazing. Liberty Talk Radio broadcasts are archived and available from our website as well as iTunes. You may also follow us on Twitter under Liberty Joe. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking our subscribe icon. Man, that's an awful lot. That's an awfully long introduction, isn't it? If I was you, I'd probably hang up by now. Hope you're staying with me. Folks, this morning I just want to talk briefly about the way we solve problems. You know, if we knew where the problem was, we'd probably find a solution. The big problem that we have as human beings is that we don't want to know where the problem is. In other words, you've heard that expression, we have found the enemy and it is us. You know, we don't like to admit that. We have found the enemy, it is us. People say, oh, yeah, and they think it's they smile. Ha, ha, yeah, that's a cute saying. No, it's not a cute saying. It's a very true saying. It's one that deserves some attention. And let me give you an example. I can give you several. I'll give you a few, but this is one that just grabs me. A friend of mine gave me a book, Secret Weapons by Kevin Freeman. Actually, it's a very good book. It's about how the economic terrorism brought down the U.S. stock market and why it can happen again. So far, I just started reading. It's very interesting. But there was two problems with the book. First, he opens up with a semi-invocation, you know, of his religious faith. Now, in this case, I'm pretty sure he's Christian. I don't recall what the invocation was, but my inclination was he's Christian. And then he goes on, and he starts everything at 9/11, September 11th, 2001. Folks, I'm here to tell you, please brace yourself, the world did not start September 1st, 2001. It did not. There was a date before that. There was a September 10th and a September 9th. And I can go on for probably another million numbers, well, a few million numbers. That's how long we've been here. The world did not start on September 11th. And I am so tired of hearing, well, now that we live in a post-9/11 world, I don't understand that. It just grabs me. My point being is that his premise is that everything that occurred on September 11th, which was bad, was a bad thing that happened to us. Thus, this gives us license to do anything else. I mean, our war on terror, obviously, it's a justified. We were attacked on 9/11. But is that the problem? Is that, in fact, the problem? No, it's not. Now, as far as the religious invocation, what bothers me now, what if that was an Islamic invocation? What if he said something like, you know, I praise Allah and Muhammad and, you know, all be praised, or something like that. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't know the right words. People would be outraged. How dare he? He's had, you know, and they would go on. They would, first of all, they wouldn't, his book would not sell. He wouldn't sell a book. And then people would say, his whole book is prejudice because he believes in Islam and he believes this and he believes that. He believes. They will go on talking about what he believes in. They will vilify him and nullify the book. Gone. Everything he has in a book, gone. Not worth it. Not worth it. Not worth reading. Facts, all skewed. But because he writes something that most of the people in the United States would subscribe to or identify with. Good book. Good book. You know, it just reminds me so much of my family. I was brought up in a family that was very ethnic. I had one sister. She bought into all that. Me? Well, I thought they were nuts. Even when I was young, I thought they were nuts. I didn't say that. Didn't get my head handed to me. But I knew there was something wrong. What is this, you know? Oh, the Italians this, the Italians that, the Italians this. You know, I had some Italian friends that were stupid. And what about my stupid Italian friends? They're not stupid. They're really stupid. They're more stupider than me. But yet, everything was fine. This is the world, very clear. And so that's why I grew up and I don't understand. And I'm still saying, to this day, I'm 69 years old, I don't understand. To this day, I'm saying, I don't understand. And I identify with that comment, we have met the enemy, it is us. Because it's me. My media agent asked me a question the other day. I said, how dare you ask me that question? How dare you? I mean, joking around, I mean, I wasn't mad at him. I said, you know how contaminated my mind is. You know, anything I say will be prejudicial. I said, I cannot make a clear statement if I try. It had to do with, you know, what I wanted to do in broadcasting here, there, everywhere, this week, that week, you know. I said, don't ask me. I said, I'll give you an answer, it'll be wrong. I can guarantee you, whatever I say, it'll be, and I will regret it. Make the right decision for me, I'll go with it. Somehow I'll fix it. I'll make it work. But you see my point, folks. My point is that we have this focus on who we are, where we are, what is right, what is wrong, and then we justify everything in the world. Boy, my family, that was easy, you know? The Irish guy across the hall, he was a bum. Why? Why was he a bum? He's Irish, you know? It was very simple. Everything was simple. My wife's Irish, by the way. She's not a bum. I love her. Love her dearly. She's wonderful. And And my father finally flipped. I mean, I almost killed him. I can tell you today he almost died. And that's when, on his birthday, November 11th, actually he celebrated his birthday twice. We never knew. He had two birthdays in November. He never told us his real birthday, so we celebrated twice. That was a big joke in the family. Anyway, I think it was September 11th. My singing group went up to his apartment, and we sang to him. Sang some really neat songs to him. He almost died. You say, Joe, why he almost died? Wasn't that wonderful? Your singing group? Because the lead was black. The second tenor was Puerto Rican, and I was Italian. I don't know what the baritone was. My father saw that, went crazy. I mean, no, I'm kidding you. He went into shock. He stood there. He didn't move. We sang two songs. I do not think he took one breath in those two songs. Man still holds the world's record in holding your breath without dying. When my group left, I was so pleased. Say, hey, Pop, he went nuts. Why did he go nuts? You know why. You can imagine what he said. I'm not going to repeat it. I can't. Hey, if I repeat it, that'd take me off the air. But that's the environment that I came in, brought up with. And now, every time I read something and it smacks of that, I see it. I see the enemy. And sometimes it's me. Don't get me wrong. In fact, most of the times, it's me. I'm the one that's goofing it up. So when we have discussions about how we're going to solve our problems, what do? We start in the middle. We start at the end. Don't start at the beginning. We'll find out who the enemy is. It's a real problem. So this book, bingo, first of all, if you're of his faith, that's fine. If you accept the fact that the world started on September 11th, fine, great premise. Then the book is valid. Now, his facts may be, in fact, accurate. I'll give you another example. I went to a business, two biggies in 1 week. I went to a business meeting, excellent meeting. These guys are problem solvers. People bring businesses there. They have problems. There's one guy who's a venture capitalist, one guy who's an industrial engineer. I mean, brilliant guys. I mean, I'm the dummy of the group, the super dummy of the group. These guys know their stuff, let me tell you. Great bunch of guys. I have a lot of fun. I tease the heck out of them. They love me there because I break them up all the time. I just give them a hard time. I'm not smart like they are. You know, they technically know what they're talking about. Me, I don't know. I don't know anything, you know. Anyway, there's a facilitator. Usually, if there's someone who's not presenting a business plan to somebody who presents a subject, anything. It could be anything at all, just to get the ball rolling, get people talking. I mean, there's no particular meeting head or anything like that, you know. And what the guy said is, he's talking about a book that Robert Reich, you know, the former secretary, the former this, the former that, you know, former PhD, whatever he is, you know. You see him on TV all the time. You know. He was Clinton's right-hand man. He wrote a book. He just wrote a book. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the employment, the poverty situation, the wealth distribution in the United States. And he has all these facts and figures and all these facts and figures and all these facts and figures. And you want to know something? You know, and I listened for about 15 minutes. I don't doubt his facts and figures are wrong. I don't doubt that. I think they're all correct. You know what the problem is? He doesn't want to go to a solution. So he, you know, vilifies the rich. He vilifies the big corporations. He vilifies, the free enterprise system. And all these things are causing all this bifurcation. Bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. You know, in the population and causing people to hate each other. What garbage! What garbage! The thing is, he won't admit it. He won't admit the problem. And that's why I brought it up. I said, "Where's the problem?" And everyone to a fault in that meeting. Eventually got to the point where they said, well, you know, the government. And I said, okay, fine. Now we got the government. Now let's talk. Then they say, well, and then they start changing the subject again. They said, well, how would you fix it? No. Don't tell me how you fix it. Let's talk about why the government's at fault. They don't want to talk about it. They'll say it, But then they want to dismiss it. Now let's go. How would you fix it? What would you do? Well, as soon as you say, well, do this, well, what about this? What about no? Once you know, you got to stay. You focus on who the problem is. The problem is the government. Period. 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 There's nothing more. You would not have lobbyists in Washington. They would not exist if there was no government. Or the government as we know it. Government as we know it. You have lobbyists because you have corrupt politicians. And the point that I made was a very simple one. I said, you have a company whose mission, and every mission, every company's mission is the same, whose mission is to maximize a return on investment for stockholder return, period. No more, no less, period, 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 period. Unless you are a nonprofit organization and you're out to provide vaccines for the people in Africa or something, that's it. Maximize your return on investment to maximize the return on investment, to maximize your return of the owners of the business, period. That's why every company is in business. Everyone is not selfish. That's the reason. People are going to be, hey, Charlie, I'm going to go in business and lose money. I just can't wait. I'm going to get this stuff in. I'm going to buy it for $50. I'm going to sell for $40. It's going to be a great, great company. No, you don't do that. You know that, and I know that. You're saying, well, I can buy it for $30. I can sell it for $50. My expenses are $10. I make $10. You know, I can make a good living out of that. It's your return on investment. Maximizing return to the stockholders, owners of the business, period, period, period. Nothing else. Man, that's why free enterprise is so bad. You got to get rid of that stuff, that profit motive stuff there. You know, it's not can be detrimental. Hey, boy, that could be detrimental, to the society. You know what I mean? That's what you hear. That's the way. That's what makes everyone prosper. Everyone. But they don't want to go to where the problem is. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't care who's in government. I don't care who gets elected. But if they abide by the Constitution, we don't have any problems. Because basically, as Edmund Oppas says, for no one could read our Constitution without concluding that the people who wrote it wanted their government severely limited. The words no and not employed in restraint of government power occur 24 times in the first 7 articles of the Constitution and 22 more times in the Bill of Rights. I don't care if our president serves 45 terms. I don't care. I don't care. He's 108 years old. He's still president. I don't care. Not because he's of my persuasion. He's of my party. Because I'm a true, strict, strict. No, absolutely not. Because if he abided by the Constitution, he'd have no power. He does nothing but have coffee and donuts. And, according to the Constitution, he would have to buy the donuts himself. They would not come to him free. So what do I care? Who do I care? I don't care who's in government. If they abided by the Constitution, I could look at Mickey. You know what my congressman? I want Mickey Mouse, the guy who plays Mickey Mouse in Walt Disney World. You know, the guy who dances around the street. That's the guys I want my congressman, because he has no power. What do I care? Let's stop for station identification. I need a squig. I just need some. I need a break. I need something. Hold on, folks.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I should take more breaks to tell you I'd love to hear from you. 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. We're going to have a short program this morning. I need to get out. I need to work on this Sunday's program. You know, I got this program with 1170 KFAQ, and I have to prepare a little bit more for that than I do for this, I'll be honest with you. Of course, I got a lot of people looking at me and cameras on me and stuff like that. It gets me nervous. But listen, call 888-773-4496, 888-773-4496. I would love to hear your comments on comments@libertytalkradio.com, comments@libertytalkradio.com. By the way, our whole email system, they changed the whole website. Our website looks terrific, and there's videos on it now. It's just absolutely terrific. Go to libertytalkradio.com. Everything will be on there, integrating the broadcast from the internet. They're trying to get the other stuff on there, and it's really professional. It's really wonderful. When you get on there, but I just found that in doing so, they killed my email address of comments@libertytalkradio.com. I know the email is going somewhere because I sent email to myself to test it, and it went to email never, never land. I'm sure it's residing somewhere. Hopefully today we'll find that, but do send us a comments@libertytalkradio.com. I promise I will get back to you, even if it is a couple of days late, okay? Thank you. All righty, and please tell your friends about this program. Go around there and tell your friends. And listen, for the next person who calls in this morning, I will provide you a free Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. We have new ones that are just absolutely spectacular. You give me a call, ask a question, you know, make a comment, make your opinion known. You got yourself a free Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. It's got a big, beautiful seagull on it, you know, a shadow of one, rather. And Liberty Talk Radio, and it's gorgeous. And if you're a female, I will send you a pink one if you want pink. Okay, all right. So you know, if we don't identify the problem, you know, how are we ever going to come to a solution? If we say, oh yeah, the government's the problem, and then we immediately dismiss that. And we fly off to something else. Well, what about this? And you know, the roads need to be. And we get onto this and that, and this person and that person. And what would you do here? No, no, no. Let's solve the problem. The problem is not the aftermath. You know, if you had a nuclear station and it kept on blowing up, you know, or shutting down, you know, you wouldn't continue to fix the aftermath. You would try to fix, why does it blow up? You know, we're all going to die. But we don't do that with government. Yeah, we say, oh, yeah, the government sort of, I guess they're somewhat responsible. No, there's a response. They say, complicit. I love it. The government, government complicity. It's a light-duty responsibility. We always got to make it light-duty. They're responsible. They should be held responsible. But we don't want to go back there. I want to go back there and say, now what do we do? And the answer is, we have to change government as we know it. Oh, you're revolutionary people. Yeah, absolutely. Am I? You bet I am. You bet I am. You think anything is going to happen by a legislation, Senate Bill, 1524, that should solve all our problems now. Now, what seems to be your problem, boy? You know, you're sick of the head, you know that. You know, all that stupid stuff. None of that's going to happen. More than billions of pages of legislation have made this country worse. Not better, worse. And what we do is we never blame the legislation enacted, regulated by Congress. And now we have organizations within the government. No one voted for them. No one knows who they are. They just exist. They make their own laws. And if we don't follow their laws, we go to jail. We can get fined or go to jail. It's crazy.
Well, this is the Office of Business Opportunity for people who walk on their toes. And you know, we notice here that you don't allow your employees to walk on their toes all the time, so you're in violation of Section 3, and you'll be fined $5,000 million.
Well, that's what we have now. Who are you?
Well, we're the National Toe Walkers Association, and
we have no idea who they are. No one knows. The government doesn't know. And whatever happened to our president's promise that he was going to go line item by line item and eliminate all this garbage. And all he did was add to it. I love that. Where's the outrage? None. You know why? Because we never go back to the problem. We never go back to the problem. Why do we do that? I don't know. I don't know why we don't do that. I wish someone would call me and tell me. 888-773-4496, comments at libertytalkradio.com. I wish someone would tell me. Please call in. 888-773-4496, comments at libertytalkradio. I don't care if it's a dumb answer. Tell me. I'll accept the dumb answer today. This is frustrating. So when you are up against that, and you know where the problem lies, but no one is discussing the real problem, a solution to the problem. Now, I don't have a solution. Believe me, if I had a solution, I'd write a book. I'd be a multi-million overnight. I don't have the answer. But I know where the problem is. But we're not discussing the problem. Yeah, we take one senator and we replace him with another senator, does the same thing. It's not solving the problem. You know it and I know it. What I particularly like is when people say, yeah, there are people in Washington, bump, they don't know what they're doing. No, they know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing, boy. They know exactly what they're doing. They're raping us. And the decisions they make make no sense to you and I, none. But makes all the sense in the world when they're collecting their money. When they're collecting their power. Makes all the sense in the world. We always say, you know, they don't know what they're doing. I got to write them a letter. They don't care. They won't read your letter. They know exactly what they're doing. You mean these guys who, you know, they have PhDs, some of them. They have master's degrees. Many of them are lawyers. I mean, you can't be really stupid, you know, and get those degrees. You can be real conniving. You got to be a damn good liar. And then fool the people. And then we say, we got to get those people out of office, you know. So you go vote, and you vote for the next jerk who does the same jerky, stupid thing. They say, you know, those guys don't know what they're doing. They're all a bunch of bums up there. Then don't vote. But it's my obligation. Don't you vote. What's the matter with you, boy? It's my obligation to vote. Don't you know that? It's your obligation to vote. It's not my obligation to vote. It's my obligation to dissent, to be a dissident. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the Constitution. We are dissidents. The government, we own the government, and we are dissidents. What we have become? We have become subjects. Willing subjects of the empire. Every one of us. Every single one of us. Oh, but if it wasn't for the government, I wouldn't have received the food stamps that feed my family. Oh, come on. Oh, my children would have starved. And see how cruel you are that you don't care about my children or the starving children around the world. You're just a selfish businessman. You don't really know what's happening really in the street. Yeah, I hear that crap all the time. Crap! You know, we always talk about the poor and what the poor can't do. Let me give you a scenario. And I'm gonna prejudice myself. The hell I'm going to prejudice myself. Let me give you a scenario. Let's take a minority, okay? And I'm going to pick on a... I don't care what minority is. I don't care what it is. You pick your favorite minority. He hardly graduates high school. Hardly. They give it to him because they want him out. Because the school stinks, you don't learn anything in it. It's a horrible school. There's all crime there. You know, it's a drug factory. School, he goes to Drug Factory High. Terrible neighborhood. But this kid isn't all that stupid. He looks at a brochure at McDonald's. It says, you work here, we pay you so much an hour, $8, $9 an hour, whatever it is, to start. We train you. Train me. Well, that's not bad. And we provide you with these benefits. Health benefits. Dental benefits, option to buy company stock, participate in company stock program, give you a 401k plan, paid vacation, sick leave. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound all that bad to me, you know? Now, you're going to work hard. You got to be on your feet all day. You know, you may have to work 8 hours, you know, running around, making French fries or whatever. But then you can, if you do well, you can get a raise and you can become an assistant manager, then a manager. And the kid's saying, hey, not bad. All right, now, let's take this kid. Male, female, it makes no difference. And again, in a minority, you take the minority. Italian, the guy's Italian. It's not a good minority, all right? The best of minority, you know. Anyway, so he gets an apartment. I mean, not a schlock apartment. I don't mean a dump, but not an expensive place. He goes to a place that's not too bad. I mean, a nice place, just a nice middle-of-the-road place. And he says, you know, I want the least expensive apartment, the small. I want the studio apartment, 1.5 rooms. He gets that room, right? But he gets it, let's say, 3 blocks away from where he works. He walks to work every day. He's got no car expense. Kid goes to school, goes to work every day, pays his rent, buys food, gets free food at the place, you know, where he works, you know. And he has money left over where he saves it. He invests it. Or he puts it away for what he wants to buy. That kid is responsible, isn't he? He becomes relatively independent. Now, if he's smart, he starts reading good stuff. He starts reading really good stuff. Stuff from Austrian economics. Stuff from the Future of Freedom Foundation, Foundation of Economic Education, the American Institute of Economic Research, the Cato Institute. You know, places that write stuff unprejudiced, you know, independent stuff. He starts learning. He says, hey, this is interesting. He starts reading. He gets really interested in this stuff. He starts working. He becomes a little entrepreneurial. This kid is not a drag on society. He has no problem. Do you know that opportunity is not available to anybody else in the world? That opportunity. Anyone can do it. Anyone. But now, his friend goes out, right? And he buys a used car, a hot rod. I think it's a hot rod, right? Doesn't work very well. Gets himself hellaciously in debt. Gets a job, you know? Doesn't do well in a job. The job stinks. It's in a factory. Guy kills himself. Quits his job. Has no job. His car gets repossessed. He's out on the street. Oh, look at the poor people. I don't care about the poor people. No, I care about the poor people. I care about everybody. Especially myself. Me, number one. But you see the difference there. You see, people can do. Now, this guy who got the job at the local fast food franchise, assuming he's not married, assuming he has no kids, he's going to do pretty well for himself. I'm not denying him a girlfriend, not denying him getting married, but I'm just saying you got to be responsible for yourself. Now, there's a kid who became responsible for himself. He saves money. He becomes responsible. And then when he starts, gets serious with girls, he says, hey, I want somebody who's responsible like me. I don't want to get some gals that's, yeah, if you spend a lot of money on you, I'll go out with you, boy. I'll make you feel really good. None of that stuff. That doesn't mean he doesn't do anything. He still goes out with his friends on Friday night, ring bada bang, goes to a ball game on Sunday, whatever the case may be. He may even be able to afford a flat screen TV that he pays for cash, and he's not in debt, and he has a good credit rating. Why is that so bad? Why is that so difficult? Why is that not available? It is available. You see, it's there. And, you know, people who think that way, what they do is after a while they say, you know, I could open my own place. And that's how entrepreneurship starts. It doesn't start with the government. We look to the government and say, well, you know, the government's got to create jobs. That government can't create jobs. Government can't do anything. Can only destroy jobs. This kid, this minority kid, got a job at a fast food franchise who was responsible for himself. He was responsible for himself. He's the one that's making the economy. He's the one that's going to create jobs someday. He's the one that's going to be responsible for everything that occurs from here on in. And not some clown in Washington. Or clowns in Washington. I just, you know, I have to be, you know, I listen to talk show programs. And here's an admission. I listen to talk show programs only because they give me material to talk about. You say, well, Joe, aren't you repeating yourself? No, absolutely not. Because not everything, but some of what I hear, I disagree with. What I have a problem with is when people have a line of thinking and they go down this line and then they bend the line and they go off the track. Like people who consider themselves a certain political persuasion and they're against the war, you know, and they're against the war, but then at some point the war is okay. You know, or they go down this one track and they're for peace and prosperity, but war is okay. You know, I mean, they bend the rules. I don't like people to bend the rules. I mean, I don't care. I mean, they can bend the rules all they want. That doesn't affect me at all. But it bothers me when I hear it. I don't understand it. I don't like when people say, you know, I'm really conservative. You know, I'm fiscally responsible. But we got to make sure those terrorists got to spend $1 trillion a year to hold on. Yeah, it makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. Absolutely none. You're conservative, you better be conservative. That means you better abide by the Constitution. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says we go over to other lands and preemptively kill people that we think may be not so good for us, maybe, probably are not. You know, when we do this, it drives me. I hate this concept of war. I want to talk about someday. He said, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't have one Afghani enemy. Not one. I don't have one Afghani. I say, that Afghani is my enemy. Not one. I'm friends with every one of them. Why am I killing him? Why am I killing people I have nothing against? People that I have nothing against? But we can't answer that question, can we? Oh, because they're them, you know, holding their terrorists. Yeah, but then I go back to the very beginning of this program. When we talk about terrorists and 9/11, or whichever our starting date is, don't we ask ourselves, why are they terrorists? Why? Why would a person take an airplane and crash it into a building? Why? Because they don't like our freedom? Are we that stupid? Are we that shallow? Are we that ignorant? Are we that misinformed? Are we that gullible? Are we that brainwashed? When I heard that, I wanted to puke. I got sick. I said, they could have said anything but that. Anything. They hate our freedom. You know, I hate the freedom of the people in Brazil. I'm going to tell my wife that later. And so I'm going to learn to fly a plane, go down to Brazil, and knock down one of their buildings. Does that make any sense? Folks, it makes no sense at all. None. Zero. Zilch. There's not a modicum of that. There's not even a glimmer, not even on the edges of sense. But the government knows that they have molded our minds enough that they can say that, we buy it, and then we will pay. We will pay for anything that they want to do. It came out. We will pay for anything they, the small group of they, want to do. And they are the government and the money changers, and the money handlers of this country, of this world. they want to do at our expense. And then we wave flags and we have Memorial Day and we have all this other stuff. And then they say, oh, by the way, we want to take your son or daughter and ship them over to Afghanistan, you know, to protect our freedom. And we salute and we say, I'm willing to sacrifice my children. My God, where are we? My God. Oh, my God. You hear these biblical stories and these about not only biblical stories, but ancient stories and legends and whatever, about parents sacrificing their children to the God. The parents sacrificing children to the gods. And we say to ourselves, how terrible. How could that be? That's ridiculous. That never happened. That could never happen. No parent would ever sacrifice their own children for any reason. They wouldn't sacrifice them to the gods. They wouldn't sacrifice. They would sit there and just watch them get sacrificed. It would never happen. You know where I am going. We are at the point, folks, that we sacrifice our children for the government. Not for our freedom, for the government. It is no different than the sacrificing of, like you see on these science fiction, of these, you know, movies where, not science fiction, but, you know, these movies of the yesteryear, where they would come and they would sacrifice the person and the tribe and they would put them on the altar and they'd kill them and burn them and whatever. And you say, oh, how horrible. How could they do that? How could they do that? That's what we are doing, folks. We are placing our children on the altar of government. And we are sacrificing them. And we are and then we're proud of it. We're saying, oh, yes, my son or daughter got maimed, psychologically damaged, or killed in Afghanistan, and I'm proud. My God, how did we get here? How did we ever get here? We should be afraid, folks. We should be very, very afraid. And unless we recognize and admit the problem, there will be no solution at all. That's the end of today's program.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective, not always palatable.
This is the end of today's program. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Freedom is like riding a motorcycle, believe it or not. It's you feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control your ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.